Good day, friends. It's good to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with another program based upon what the Bible teaches. We're continuing on in our discussion in Messages of Life, and we ask you to stay with us for the next quarter hour as we're going to deal with a very outstanding picture associated from the Word of God regarding the Tree of Life. Before we get into that, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. We don't pray probably as often as we should on these broadcasts. We understand we're to pray without ceasing, and I hope that you do as Christians each day. We pray daily, but not always on the broadcast. But let's take time out to offer prayer today on the broadcast. Our Father and our God, we come into thy holy presence with glad hearts that our lives have been spared throughout the past week. And as we now look into thy word, understanding that the entrance of this word can give light to our life, it can give understanding to those who do not know thy truth, we put our trust in thee. We're glad, Father, for the opportunity to sound forth the gospel, and we are glad for the brethren who stand behind this broadcast. We are glad for those who are receiving the word of God, receiving so many times as though their hearts look as though it were parched earth that is receiving the fallen rain from heaven. We trust, Father, that the entrance of this word may have a true course in the lives of many who are in sin today. May it sustain and encourage those who are in Christ Jesus, that they may grow in strength and in the power of thy might. We pray for the sick, those who are upon beds of affliction. We also pray today for those who are in sorrow regarding the loss of loved ones. Our prayer goes out for our nation and nations of the world. And may the leaders of nations throughout the world, including our own nation, realize the importance of God and your word. May men see the importance of being at peace with thee, that they might see clearly to live at peace with their fellow man. Now help us as we take a look in this period of time at the Tree of Life, for it can be an influence of good in our lives today. This is our prayer we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. There are two locations regarding the Tree of Life found in the Bible. One location, of course, is in the first part of the Bible, back in Genesis, when we hear of the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden. And then we later read in the final chapter of the Bible in Revelation 22:14, "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the Tree of Life and enter in through the gates into the city." I would understand that location of the Tree of Life to be in heaven. And so, in line with that thinking, we can say at one time the Tree of Life was in the Garden of Eden. At the present time, we understand it is in heaven. And as Jesus said to his followers in the 14th chapter of John during his personal ministry, "I'm going to leave you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. But I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So we're suggesting for your consideration and your meditation on this broadcast today that man should be in pursuit of the Tree of Life. He lost it in the Garden of Eden. He will find it in the wonderful heaven. Now there's some living to be done in between, just as in the life of a child that is born into a family circle. A grandfather told me one time that when he looked down at his firstborn grandchild, he noticed how everything seemed to be perfect. If he's like I am, he generally looks at one of the ears to see how perfectly formed it is, and then one of the little fingers. Well, whether he viewed it from that standpoint or not, he knew there was a blessing sent from God to his daughter and her husband. He also was aware of the fact that there would be a lot of living if this life was preserved upon this earth. A lot of heartaches, a lot of disappointments, but also an opportunity for success time and time again. So what we're saying is we're suggesting that when man lost the Tree of Life in the Garden of Eden, and the indication that's given in Genesis there is that God said man has become as us, he knows good from evil, let's separate him from the Tree of Life. And so man was driven out of the garden. God apparently did not want man to partake of that Tree of Life while he was in sin. And I think this is a key to the whole situation. It would indicate to us when we look at the life of man upon this earth that we find he comes into this earth by the same physical channel. And just as man was created by God out of the dust of the ground God breathing into his nostrils a breath of life that he might become a living soul, as we have in Genesis 2 and 7. So we're aware of the fact when people are born today through that physical channel, they all come into this world just like Adam was in the garden, namely, free from sin. But you see, the tree of life is not here in our life, and so we are in pursuit of it. We can't live a physical life upon this earth without committing sin. How many times in past broadcasts have we referred to Romans 3:23, when the book just simply says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? And I trust if you're in sin today that you realize that that word all includes you. It includes me. It includes everyone. We need help to get out of this mire of sin. But what kind of help does God give us? You see, when we obey that gospel, just as the Bible teaches, we might say by hearing the word of God, this is a form of doctrine, by believing it, by repenting of our sins, by confessing our faith in Christ, that we believe that Christ is the Son of God, and following that with immersion, baptism, and water, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, then our sins are taken away. In other words, when the new birth is completed, then we are absolutely free from sin. So you see, we were free from sin when we came into this world. Now someone says, how can you prove that? One of the best illustrations I could give you on that is in the 18th chapter of Matthew from the life of Jesus. And I know a number of young people that listen to the broadcast today have studied this, maybe in vacation Bible study, maybe in one of your class periods. Maybe you've read it at home. Older people have. You know, they want to know who was be great or who was the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus used that wonderful object lesson. And I certainly want to say to all of you that here is scriptural proof that we have a right to use object lessons in teaching the Bible. The object lesson Jesus used in that 18th chapter of Matthew was the little child. He called that child into their midst, and I believe it's in verse 3 of that chapter. You can check it out. That you'll find he said, except ye be converted and become as this little child, you truly can't be in the kingdom. You can't get into the kingdom. You can't be great in the kingdom. So the point is that the little child who has no sin that has come into this world is an example of our condition after we are converted or born again. So no sin to begin with, but then we commit sin. Just like the mother who has put out the clean clothes on her little boy or little girl, she said, now don't get dirty. But that child goes out, and because it is a child, because it's investigating, it gets in the mud or the dirt. So in life as children, the Lord gives us a good start, but we commit sin. But then as the mother will bring the child in and will clean its clothes and perhaps undoubtedly prepare it in a clean state to continue on in the day. So the Lord has made it possible for every sin to be forgiven when we obey the gospel. We have the assurance of this in a number of passages. Acts 22:16, Saul of Tarsus, Paul the Apostle, we know him as, who wrote most of the epistles in the New Testament, told of his own conversion. Remember what it said in Acts 22:16? He was told to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord. So here's a man who even persecuted Christians that had every sin taken away. When Paul wrote about this in the lives of all people, including his own life, he wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1 of that epistle and verse 7, Ephesians 1 and 7. He said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So as we enter the Christian life, we have all our sins forgiven. Now we're in a pursuit of the tree of life. And isn't it a wonderful thing when we have the opportunity of being resurrected, when we have the opportunity of our bodies being changed, and hearing him say, well done unto us, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. As the scripture suggests in Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that's in this life, that they may have right to the tree of life and enter through the gates into the city. So the two locations of the tree of life has something to do with man. Because after all, I am sure that the tree of life was created by God and placed in that garden. that man, being free from sin, would have the opportunity to have association with it. So there are really three times that we've talked about in life when a birth has taken place, or at least a transition. And when that birth is complete, we are free from sin. The physical birth first, the spiritual birth second, and might I say the eternal entrance into the home, which in a sense, the home of the soul, is a birth. A coming in, a coming out from, we might say, one circumstance, and a coming into another. I'm wondering if you can say on the broadcast today that you really have a right for the tree of life. You know, when you begin to consider how important it is to obey His commandments, if you read Revelation 22:14 very carefully, you'll find that what it's really saying there is that we can only have a right to the tree of life if we keep His commandments, and that means to obey them. Now, this principle has always been true because back in Ecclesiastes 12:13, Solomon, the wise monarch of old, simply said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." This affects young people, including teenagers. It affects those who are starting homes, those who are, we might say, preparing for future life here upon this earth, and also, we might say, looking forward to eternal life. It refers to those who are aged, those indeed who have lived a good many years upon this God's footstool. Well, we're going to have to leave you with this message of life. I hope it has been. And be with us next week as we discuss the final message in this current series. Your friend and neighbors of the Church of Christ have brought you this broadcast, and trust it has been a blessing again to you and your family circle today. May God bless us as we obey that marvelous and that wonderful truth.